right, here we go. 9:06. Got to get Tom in here. I know he's all sad because little Patrick's not working here anymore. So Tom's all crybabyish. Tommy, get in here. Buck up. Chin up. Here we go. Come on, carry on. Carry on. No, don't give me boo-boo face.
Where's Patrick?
I miss him just as much as you do. We'll be going on to a better life.
He's probably still in bed.
Right.
Lucky son of a gun.
How nice of his mom to come in and then give us champagne. What the hell was that?
She's
how
great.
About that, Ursula?
Especially how mean you were to Patrick.
I know, on a daily basis, and still, still.
They know it's out of love.
We toughened her up. All right, here we go. Let's see. A labor-backed group asked Washington State Bobby Ferguson, who wants to be governor of the state of Washington, to charge Amazon with a felony over the head tax threat. Another interesting chapter in giving us 6 minutes of additional things to talk about and using the term head tax over and over again. Here we go, Tom. What is the group claiming in this suit that they want Bob Ferguson to be involved in?
That Jeff Bezos is just like, quote, a subprime mob boss lording it over a company town. How dare they?
Have you ever heard of the term subprime mob boss before? Put that into one of those jumble things where you just put words
right.
in, it spits it out. A subprime mob boss. Andrew, look, by the way, what time is it?
It is 9:08.
And time for me to what?
To apologize.
Yeah, I want to apologize for anything I said yesterday.
To Patrick's mom, maybe.
Perhaps. Put that in there. Subprime mob boss. Yeah. Okay,
that's
go
right.
ahead.
I like that. And I can't tell, would a subprime mob boss be wearing a baggy suit or real tight, you know, fitting suit? I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
So what they're trying to claim is that how dare Bezos do this?
Yes.
He's threatening us.
You're right.
It's... What this is, this is literally, it is a lawsuit being brought, or it's being requested to Ferguson. Ferguson says, I don't have the right to do this. It needs to be referred to me by the governor or by a county, for instance. But, I mean, on both sides of the ledger, people are thinking this is ridiculous. And to me, I think this is an example of the kind of Trumpian and or Sawantian rhetoric that we are in the midst of.
Yes.
It's one thing to say on the stump somebody is a crook or somebody is a, you know, extortionist. It's like highfalutin political language maybe, but it's not legalistic. And as Phil Talmadge, a Democrat who's been a former state Supreme Court justice, says that not a threat with the meeting that's what they're calling for is not within the criminal law, okay. This idea of a threat. A physical harm is meant to protect an individual who is being, gone against. But this is political language trying to be addressed in a legal setting, and it doesn't work.
Bob Ferguson should be running florists out of business. He shouldn't be involved in this type of thing. But you can ask Bob to do whatever he wants. He's decided. I assume they're not going to take this case, right?
Well, I mean, they haven't said anything, but it hasn't been referred to them anyway. But no, he can't. What his job is in terms of the florist case is just to enforce the law. You don't bring a lawsuit against somebody unless you have some reason for this. I don't even know why. I think this backfires on the people that are calling for it.
Uh-huh.
It's trying to vilify Jeff Bezos in an inappropriate way.
Yeah. How about the fact that somebody from Amazon, which is normally very tight-lipped, you call over there, they don't want to tell you anything. They released the fact that Amazon paid $250 million in state taxes. I guess they slipped that out there. By the way, the state of Washington receives $31 billion in revenue. So that's just about 8%. So 8% of the total take from the state of Washington comes from Amazon. That's pretty good, don't you think, Tom? Or could it be even higher?
I don't know what the stats are. One of the interesting things about this
those are the stats.
Businesses.
How does that hit you? That 8% of total revenue from the state of Washington comes from Amazon, which employs 40,000 people.
Okay, well, I don't know what stats you're referring to. What I think is interesting is how does that compare to, say, Boeing? How does that compare
I'm looking up Boeing right now.
Because according to the Seattle Times business article, they say that what's so rare about this, companies tighten this, you know, they hold this information so tight it never gets leaked out, and so they say it's hard to know how it compares to other operations in this state. So we have no context for this, but clearly it's pushback from Amazon saying, hey, I know Bernie Sanders said we don't pay any federal income tax, and that may be true, but we do pay into the state of Washington, state and local taxes. Mm-hmm. They say they don't give us a breakdown of how it's in, but it's, I mean, yeah, it's a business. It's a business, and they have to pay the B&O tax and stuff. And so that's what it works out.
So here are your numbers put in perspective for you. So Boeing must have paid $40 million in B&O. These are 2016 numbers. $40 million in the B&O tax, which is by far the largest portion of the total state and local tax bill. Because of the regular B&O tax rate is at 0.4, blah, 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 blah. These figures imply that Boeing 2016 revenue earned the state $51 billion. That's in B&O tax. So so the state took in $51 billion in 2016.
$51 billion, and this is only $250 million? That's not very much then.
Boeing's 2016 revenue earned the state was $51.7 billion.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Those numbers, I mean, those don't seem comparable numbers. I wonder if they're what that is in relation to. But anyway, the issue is not what exactly the amount is compared to other companies. I guess the question is, how is this information leaked? Why is it leaked? And it's to say, hey, Amazon said, hey, listen, we pay taxes too.
Right.
We do pay some taxes. So the thing is, if they pay $250 million and the most that the head tax is proposing is $20 million, doesn't seem like that big an addition if they're already paying $250 million, if that is indeed the case. There are different reactions to it.
But don't you understand? It doesn't matter whether it's $20 million. $20 billion, $200
million. Oh, I think it matters.
Listen, at some point, Amazon is in the business of doing business, right?
Yes.
And they want to be as competitive as they can possibly be, right? Jeff Bezos is ruthless. Your margins are my opportunity, right?
Yes.
That means if you make 8%, I'll try to get it down to 4%. So every time you have some space in there, I'm going to eat your lunch, right?
Okay.
Why should he, and by the way, they're not the only one. So the 500 other businesses have come forward. Wajimoda Market in Chinatown yesterday said the same thing. Hey, if you take this money, that means less money for us to give to our employees. Yeah. So don't take the money from us. So it's not just Amazon. It's not the $20 million from Amazon.
But that's what we're talking
about. Here. I know, I understand that, but it's including everybody. But Amazon's point is, listen, I'll just go somewhere else, or I'll just stop everything until you guys get things straightened out. Everybody's screaming and yelling yesterday about holding them hostage and extortion. I read a really interesting article by Chevron. They said they waited on a huge decision to find out which way Trump was going to go on the Iran deal, because if he pulled out of the Iran deal, what it would do to oil. So
oil
Chevron
prices,
held
yes.
off on big decisions for about 2 months because they didn't know which way things were going to go. So Chevron says, we're not going to make this investment until we know which way things move. We're not going to spend the money and then find out all of a sudden things turn the other way.
That's
so
business
Amazon,
practice.
That's business.
Right.
Hey, it's not extortion. It's not threats. Thanks for agreeing with me. Amazon says, we're going to wait and see which way things are blowing.
John.
Is it extortion?
No, you're using language. We're using the highfalutin language.
Right.
That is the language that Shama Sawan used.
Right. I understand.
Yes.
And others have said the same thing, that it's extortion and it's threats and this other group that want to sue. It's business.
Okay,
it's just business.
Yes. But just business, it can be illegal. It can be unfair.
No, that's illegal business. This is just business. Go ahead.
Okay. No, but I mean, the idea is, so for instance, we apparently in this state gave about $252 million in B&O taxes credit to Boeing when we made this big deal. So at that point, we're looking at saying, okay, here's what we're going to do to try to keep Boeing here. And the legislature bent over backwards to accommodate Boeing. And then Boeing didn't follow through on the expectation of that accommodation. So this is how things go back and forth. By the way, I think there was another city. Is it Washington, D.C.? Which is one of the places that they're considering, the HQ2 is considering a version of the head tax as well.
Mm-hmm.
These are ways for cities to produce revenue. And the question is, how much of it is going to impact the amount of business in that particular city?
Yeah.
Amazon is here. Amazon hasn't said they'll uproot, but Amazon has said if we expand, we may expand elsewhere.
Yeah.
And this is the battle. That's what Jenny Durkin in the mayor's office is trying to do, is come up with some kind of balance.
Mm-hmm.
You call Jeff Bezos ruthless, but he has been working with the homeless nonprofits to try to help out some of the homeless people. I think one of those buildings that he took
Mary's
over
place.
For about a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
For about a year before, they're going to tear it down and turn it into another Amazon office building. Said, okay, well, how about we'll allow, you know, these women that are on the, you know, on the outs, on the run, or, you know, sort of protective places for them and their children from the men who are, you know, harassing them, then that's a good thing. So it's not that Jeff Bezos doesn't have a conscience, but it's how big of a conscience if we start making demands on him. The idea is to work with him to say, okay, be a good neighbor.
Then, okay, so you want to argue what good is. So you want to put a number to it? The same way people, well, we throw the word good around or throw the word fair around or pay your fair share in taxes.
Yes.
No, we don't need, I don't care about his consciousness, Tom. I don't care about his, no, I don't care about his conscience.
Okay, fine.
And when I use the term ruthless, fine. And when he used the term ruthless, I'm talking about the fact that as a businessman, he is ruthless. He's with the Rockefellers, he's with the Carnegies, he's with the rest of the guys that understand margins or opportunities. He's ruthless. And as a person who owns some stock in Amazon, not enough because it trades at $1,000-some a share, I got a little piece of it from a 401k.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, you know what? Go ahead, be as ruthless as you want as you continue to dominate all these different business sectors. But the point is that we don't have a right to determine whether or not Jeff Bezos should spend $10 million, $20 million, $50 million. He can do whatever he wants with his business, anything he wants with his business. And, this,
and we have a right to do what we want to do with our city, and so you hope to have a balance between the business interests and the city's interests.
And he will leave or he will stop production if he wants to leave.
Yes, absolutely. And he came here because he wanted to be here, and he has a stamp here, and he's got the Bezos balls down downtown. I mean, it's like he is making an effort and a stamp on Seattle.
Do you think he came here, one of the reasons? I would like to find out why. Did he move to Washington because it doesn't have a state income tax?
See, I don't know that.
Don't forget
if the income tax is really, you know, is a linchpin thing for a corporation. I don't know that if more people come here because there's no income tax or not.
Well, if you had a choice between going to some place that's taking an income tax and some place that isn't, would you rather go to the place that doesn't have an income tax?
I'd rather go to a place that has other accommodations. The income tax is not a make or break. How many places don't have income taxes in this country? What,
13?
7? 13? Okay, I mean, I don't think everyone's going to that place because they don't have an income tax. There are a lot of benefits about living in Seattle, for instance, that have nothing to do with whether we have an income tax or not.
Well, let's see. Are there better ways for Jeff Bezos to spend his $131 billion? I read this article this morning in the New York Times. This guy, he is a professor of sociology or something from University of Chicago, and he basically lays out in a very long piece about Jeff Bezos, don't be spending your money blasting it into outer space. You could do so much more to really benefit mankind if you spent it here, here, or here.
Benefit mankind. It sounds like, again, I haven't had a chance to read this, but it sounds like he wants to turn him into Bill Gates.
Yeah.
That everybody should be Bill Gates.
Right.
And right now, maybe Bezos is more like Paul Allen. Paul Allen is interested in exploring the frontiers of brain technology and having kind of aspects that may not be the most fruitful immediately in terms of the impact on the world, but might, you know, do things to expand our horizons intellectually, perhaps. I don't know. Is he condemning Bezos?
No, not yet. He's just saying that there's better ways. Don't be spending it into outer space.
Okay, so he's just against the outer space venture.
Yeah, he says most successful businessmen of all time has amassed an unfathomable fortune of $131 billion. At this present predicament, Bezos commands far more money than any other person could possibly spend in an entire lifetime or a family dynasty could possibly ever spend. Unfortunately, Bezos appears to be coming up with terrible responses. Yeah, according to this guy.
Yeah, okay. So
if Bezos could take $131 billion, put it in a food processor, pour some Russian dressing on top of it, and eat the entire thing if he wanted to, because it's all his money, right?
Well, we'll get to this, but why doesn't he spend it on solving the homeless crisis in Seattle? That'd be great. Forget the head tax. We won't tax you. Just give us.
How do you solve the homeless problem?
Well, we're going to get to that at 9:30, Joe.
Very good tease forward,
Tom.
Yeah. Donald Trump greets three Americans. It was a tiny platform on the top of the stairs as you're coming off the plane. He was there. Is Melania up there as well?
Melania.
Plus the three guys?
Yes.
Very little room for the three prisoners that are coming back. It was odd. Why do it there? Let him walk down the steps.
Didn't greet him. Because this is all a photo op for him, and it almost made me like Trump, who I can't stand, because he seemed almost pathetic in his effort to try to cash in on this. I mean, it's 3 a.m, and not only is he there, which makes perfect sense.
Yes.
I have no problem.
Yes.
He can take whatever glory he wants, and his wife. Okay, I got that.
Right.
But he also brought the vice president and the vice president's wife. I mean, it's like, hey, everybody, let's. I think he's trying too hard. That's the way it felt to me. Like,
yes.
He's so, you know, earnest in his effort to try to say, see, I'm a leader. I'm a world leader. But
so he was asked on the tarmac whether securing the release of the prisoners is his proudest achievement.
My proudest achievement will be, this is a part of it, but will be when we denuclearize that entire peninsula. This is what people have been waiting for a long time. Nobody thought we could be on this track in terms of speed. So I'm very honored to have helped the three folks. They're great people.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Great people. You got them out of there. He also said some nice things about Kim Jong-un.
We very much appreciate that he allowed them to go before the meeting. It was sort of understood that we'd be able to get these three terrific people during the meeting and bring them home after the meeting. And he was nice in letting them go before the meeting. I mean, frankly, we didn't think this was going to happen, and it did.
There you go. All right.
Okay.
See that? I don't know how many other Americans are held by North Korea. I'm trying to find out online.
I think those are the only three.
That's it?
The three left. Yeah, you know, there were, I think three came home under Obama's administration.
Uh-huh.
But the thing about this, and this is, poor Trump, he wants to kind of make a big deal about this. He was complaining. He says, yeah, look at the Obama administration didn't let these guys out. Two of the three were taken after Trump became president.
Okay.
It didn't even happen
on
his
true, then.
And,
it is true. It's true.
That's right. The thing is, I just think that he's trying too hard, but it does humanize him for me.
It's interesting that you felt sorry for him, and then therefore
yes.
you liked him?
Well, I mean, just he felt human. You know, to me, he's such a blowhard. Uh-huh. It's like when you see somebody trying so hard to try to be a certain way and they don't realize it. You can see the
see their humanity.
Yes, you
do. So just a moment, you pulled back from the giant red tie and the blue suit, and
yes.
you saw him as
Here's a
man.
Guy, yeah, who really he wants this. It's like I think people can identify with that human instinct.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that as it might be seen as unbecoming to be the leader of the free world and also have those human moments.
So it's a King Lear moment, Tom.
not quite.
All
right. I know who the fool is.
President Trump, by the way, pointed out that when it comes to Nobel Peace Prize, it's possible he could get it. Maybe, possibly he could get it. Do we have the sound of him? Oh, here he goes. Does he deserve it?
You deserve the Nobel Prize, do you think?
Everyone thinks so, but I would never say it. You know what I want to do? I want to get it finished. The prize I want is victory for the world.
The Victory for the World Prize.
Not for even here. I want victory for the world, because that's what we're talking about. So that's the only prize I want.
Okay. There you go.
Good for bully for him.
Again, now you like him even more. How about that's the breaking headline? By the way, Andrew, subprime mob boss.
Only exists on the websites calling Jeff Bezos a subprime.
It's not a reference to anything going back to
not
like
that
the,
I could
2002.
See.
Okay, no. Fine, just checking. All right, coming back, King County needs to spend how much money? So the McKinsey company, which has been around since 1940 or 50 or something like that, they are a big marketing company, big consulting company, and they did some pro bono work, as they've done for other organizations across the world.
For the Chamber of Commerce
and
here
they did
in
this
Seattle.
For the Chamber of Commerce. Chamber
yes.
of Commerce said, hey, look into this for us and tell us how much money we would possibly need if he wanted to, quote-unquote, solve the homeless problem here in Seattle.
And I think the Chamber's now in efforts to try to contact a Berkeley professor to counter that study.
We got the number for you. Get ready. We'll be right back. By the way, if we do solve the homeless problem, we're going to have about 40 minutes we're going to need to fill every day on this show. Come on now.
More movie talk?
Come on. We need more tarps. Thanks, Kia Mortgage. 1-888-778. K and an I and an E and an L. Remember that old classic, Tom? Sing along with me. That's Kia Mortgage. Kia Mortgage is there for all your mortgage needs. Kia Mortgage, CL53969. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Tom and Curly Show, by the way. If you're just joining us and you normally tune in and watch, about 258 people every single day have nothing better to do than to watch the Tom and Curly Show. You'll notice an absence of a rather zoftic man who used to wear Sounders hats, Tom. He's no longer there on camera. Patrick.
Yeah,
now.
What
Patrick
was
no longer with us.
Oh, well, I was going to say, what was his name? But you remember
Patrick,
it right
Patrick.
Off the bat. Yeah,
yep.
It's good for you.
Thank you, Tom.
We haven't forgotten him entirely.
I did not. I wasn't going to say his last name on the air yesterday because I wasn't sure if I had the pronunciation
yeah,
yet.
Right.
And you know, he'd only been here for 3.5
yeah,
years.
Yeah, you weren't even sure what letter of the alphabet it started with.
I knew it was an S.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yes.
Very good.
Neither is two syllables.
It was Slatherwhite.
You're not getting it right. It's not Slather White. You said that hoping I would jump on. Andrew, instead, is in a good stead here with us, filling in while we wait to find out if we even get a producer.
Those are just thankless like, job.
Why do I need to produce that thing? The guys never follow anything I write anyway. King County needs to spend how much money?
A fortune.
Okay. So the who was it? The Chamber of Commerce? Who hired these guys?
Yes. McKinsey and Company was asked by the Chamber to do this. They did this pro bono work. They did this huge analysis of what it would take to, in effect, I mean, we kind of say this with a tongue in our cheek because it's so ambitious, but solve the homeless crisis, because this has now been going on for years. Remember, it was 10 years ago, I think, that Mayor Nichols, you know, was saying
called it an emergency. And within 10 years, we would solve the homeless crisis.
Well, now,
a state
now
of emergency.
Now we know why we haven't.
Why?
First off, so the go-to line of people that don't want to spend any more on homeless is that somebody, was it Barbara Poppy, somebody said that, hey, we have enough money. We just need to figure out how to use the money
better.
This goes counter to that. They say, first off, the solution to any of our problems, and this is one of the things I think that the mayor was working on, was efficiencies in the system.
Yeah.
That there are just, there's too much overlap. There's not enough sort of a follow through to see if the programs that had been working had really worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2 years ago, they started this effort. The navigation teams is one of these examples of what they think are going to be more effective approaches. And they got rid of a lot of the nonprofits, Share and the like, who had been working on this for a decade, said, you know, that you don't show enough progress in what you're doing. So we were going to sort of focus on that.
Ten years later.
So a lot. Well, no, I mean, in the series, of course.
Right. Ten years of spending the money and not having it. But just want to point out just this pattern. Having no statistical analysis to determine the success of a program. That's one of the things that they determined.
That's for 10 years. Well, I don't
we
know if
spent
it was 10
money
years, but yeah.
And we had, which we could maybe say it's longer, we had no benchmarks, no metrics to judge whether or not a program was successful.
Well, the idea is, yes, in terms of productivity, the work that they did was good, but it didn't, if the idea was to not help the people that needed help, but to get them into more affordable housing, into housing, that was the test. And so they've been doing that. And so that has been the kind of the mantra. Okay, we don't have to spend more money, we just need to be more efficient.
Yeah.
The first thing that this investigation says is no, that we are now about at the point that squeezing efficiencies out of the current system is not going to solve anymore, that we've squeezed just about as much as we're going to be able to squeeze, mm-hmm. and we're going to be nowhere near what it's going to take. What it's going to take are thousands upon thousands, I think it's something like 14,000 more affordable housing units, and that will come at a cost that's double. John, I know you're always outraged about what we're already spending.
Mm-hmm.
This suggestion is we need to double what we're spending to $410 million a year to solve the problem of affordable housing, because 14,000, and that's only if, and this is the other final issue, it's only if we cap, in effect, don't have any more homeless people even coming to us. You know, in other words, if we get 35% of the homeless get into housing, we can take on 35 more percent, you know, housing, but we cannot have more, a higher percent of homelessness.
Right. Okay. I don't argue with the amount of money spent. I quibble, and it's a quibble, with the whether or not the money is being well spent. Mm-hmm. Is the money well spent, right? So, like, for instance, the federal government collects and spends money on defense, and I think it's 13% of the total budget. And then you find out that the Defense Department spends $23,000 on a toilet seat or a hammer or whatever else those stories are that go on. So you say, is the money well spent? Is the city of Seattle taking the hard-earned money of the taxpayer and spending it with concern for the taxpayer? Or are we seeing, as evidence will show, and no one's proven me wrong on the XY axis, as spending goes up, homelessness goes up? So I would say this. If you want to spend $400 million, and they say it's a one-time, right, it's be $400 million, be done.
No.
No.
A year.
A year.
A year,
$400
John.
Million dollars a year.
And you just said, you can take it back.
Right.
You just said, I don't have a problem with how much money we're going to spend.
If.
As long as it's well spent.
If.
Yes, but $410 million a year?
Don't forget, Jeff Bezos, that's pocket change.
That's true.
It's right. It's his money. Here's the thing. If you could guarantee, mm-hmm. that no one other than the people of King County or Seattle, because I think it's just King County and Seattle. It's not the state this of Washington, is it?
No, this it's regional in that it's King County, not
okay,
just Seattle.
So let's just do King County.
But yes, King County.
If you can prove to me that not one single additional person moves here in order to receive, quote unquote, affordable housing, I'd say go ahead and spend it. But you have to be able, and at the end of the year, find out if you got some money left over from the program, which government never has any money left over. Yeah. But you have to guarantee me that just like they tell you, hey, don't put bird feeders out. Don't put a bird feeder out if you don't want to attract bears. Don't put garbage out next to a garbage can if you don't want to attract rats. If you don't want to attract people, don't offer free programs for them to take advantage of, because they will take advantage of free programs, because that's the number one rule of economics is people respond to incentives. So guarantee me that we don't create more homelessness by having more people move here from Portland or Georgia or West Virginia. And I would be okay with looking at some of those numbers.
Okay, so there. So what you've done is you've introduced, and I think it's a valid introduction, of a third item. So the first item people normally look to is we're not spending the money well.
Right.
According to this study, this is a quote from a partner at the McKinsey Institute, there's not a ton of more juice to squeeze on efficiencies in the crisis response system. Huh. But they say that is actually working pretty well. They get 35%. Homeless into homes increase and all that. So that they say seems to be working well. The shortage is of 14,000 units means that there's no place to put these people, even if you do have an efficient system, and that's going to cost a fortune. But the third thing is, and that's what you're introducing, is if you accept those two, and that would be a big exception, acceptance on your part, John, if you were really willing to accept it, is, then how do you control that so there won't be more people? The problem is we don't have, like pass laws like you have in South Africa where certain people can't live in certain places.
Yeah.
I don't know how we would institute that, but that would be the conundrum.
Yeah. How do you like this program? If you're in a housing, if you're in a shelter for 90 days or less and you have some income, that the city will pay 1 year's worth of your rent if you move.
To where?
Wherever.
You mean within the city confines?
No. Nope. But out of the city.
So they don't have to be out of the county?
Yeah.
Okay, out of the county.
See you later.
I don't know.
They have that in New York City.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's called Family Reconnect Program. And all you have to do is take 1 year's worth of, they'll give you 1 year's worth of rent. They'll pay for your rent for 1 year as long as you get the hell out of the five boroughs.
Okay, I think that would be great if you could guarantee they wouldn't come back in a year, and I don't think they can.
Why not?
You
can't reapply. You get it once, you get 1 year and get out of here. So Seattle would pay you and pay your family or whatever else to get off the street, and we'll give you 1 year's worth of rent. Just don't be here on the taxpayer's dollar.
The problem is a lot of homeless people in 1 year, they're not going to clean up their life in a year. They got deeper problems than that.
Oh, so it's not a homeless problem. It's a drug problem. It's an alcohol problem.
It's a combination of a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
But a lot of those people, a year wouldn't be enough.
Okay. Well, by the way, upstate New York is suing the five boroughs.
Oh, for doing that. Yeah, that's right.
Like, wait a minute, they're moving up here.
It's the homeless in Pierce County. I'm not going to like that too much.
We'll come right back. Tom and Curly Show right here on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM 1047.
See, we did solve the homeless.
We did. And didn't cost $400 million.
It will.
Okay. This is Tom and Curly Show. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can text as well at 98973. And one person becomes the letter of the day person. That's the person who's got the last word on the show of any topics we have covered. We certainly appreciate your participation. That happens at 11:47. Not too late to get in now. Write to us at mynorthwest.com or text 98973. We find out that with the balmy summer days ahead, you get an opportunity to take some time off. And this study comes up, it seems like every year, that Americans get a certain number of vacation days, but they don't even take the number of vacation days that are allotted them because we're such hardworking folks.
You think our lot in life is easy?
Yeah.
It is harder than a medieval peasant.
Uh-oh.
At least according to this this headline article, not in terms of the back-breaking work that the peasants had to survive, with the tilling the fields and the famine and disease and warfare and all of that. But they say in terms of working, peasants, there was a slower pace of life back in the Middle Ages, And because of that, they peasants who are seen as like the lowest of the low and the hardest of the hard in terms of workers, they got between 8 weeks to half a year off.
Oh, yeah.
And they cite various examples of that. And they say, isn't that odd that 8 weeks is a minimum and it could be 6 months off? And the average after somebody works for a year in America, they get an average of 8 vacation days. 8 days versus 8 weeks or 6 months. And they say, and then we often don't even take those days off because we're afraid we might get behind. Some of us are just so wrapped up in our jobs, we can't imagine when we take time off to not stay in touch with our job and all this. But others say that there's a little nervousness on board, that the idea of a 40-hour week is in the in our past, mm-hmm. that everyone is clearly working a lot many more hours. And if everybody else is working that many more hours, then you feel a little nervous not working that many hours.
So then everybody jumps in. So here's the latest number from 2018. U.S. 85% of males and 66% of females work more than 40 hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
85. Guess we're the only ones busting the curve on that one, Tom.
Oh, come on, John. You, both of us put in, we probably put in 80 hours a week if you include all the extra stuff
that's
we do
true.
In our job. I mean, the idea is that we're doing extra things for our job and or extra jobs. But
Americans
yeah.
work 137 more hours than Japanese workers and
yes.
270 more hours than the folks in the UK.
Yeah.
Well, and 499 more hours than the French.
All right. I know. See, the French know how to live. So do the Danes, the Scandinavians. And what they say, and again, we're tilling old ground, but it's brought up in this article again, that we are seen as more productive if we take vacations. And that the irony is that the Americans work more than any other country, and we are less efficient at it. They take the example of Europe, and they say, who works the hardest, the most hours? Greece. They're the ones that they have their economy is a shambles, and they don't make as much money. They're not as successful. Who works the least? Germany, and they are a powerhouse, and not in terms of productivity, mm-hmm. but in terms of hours put in. The Greeks are the worst. They work the most, and they have the worst economy, and the Germans work the least, and they have the highest economy.
Most in the Greek. Workers are working for the government. Yeah, but most of the jobs are government jobs, job and created jobs. And they're working the longest hours. You ever been to Greece?
Yes, I have.
How long does it take them to deliver a glass of water to the table? You ever had that experience?
You feel
excuse
like you're
me,
in
waiter?
The Middle
excuse
Ages?
Me, waiter? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're out there pushing
it's a
slower
big oxygen. Pace alive.
Slower pace. They're not working. All right, we'll come back. Plus, what is a good job? What is a good job to you? What do you hear this definition right back?